I am so excited about this month. Remember, I don't know, for those of you that weren't here last week, I mentioned that this month would be about RV maintenance. Yeah. I was half accurate on that one. I'm actually really excited because we're going to talk about community and connection and power, finding power in that. And finding the power that speaks to not just myself, but really, if I only focus on my personal power, then I've only gotten part of the equation. There's a story about a man that fell into a hole. Been there? You heard this story? I know you have, Jim. So a doctor walks by, and the man says, "Help me. I fell into the hole." And the doctor writes a prescription, and he throws the prescription into the hole. And if it was me down in the hole, I'd be like, "Really?" So then a priest walks by, and the man says, "Help, I fell into a hole." And so the priest writes down a prayer, and he throws it into the hole. I think I've done that sometimes. And the man's down there in the hole, and he's like, "How am I going to get out of this hole?" And then a friend of his walks by, and he looks up, and he says, "Help, my friend, I've fallen in a hole." And his friend jumps in the hole. And he goes, "Why'd you jump in the hole?" He says, "How am I going to get out?" He goes, "Because I've been in this hole, and I know how to get out." That's community. That's connection. And that's how we walk this journey. And to be honest, that's what the book of the month is about, the second mountain, A Quest for a Moral Life. I'm almost done with the book. And it's extraordinary. It's extraordinary because it teaches us what we're missing. And I want to talk a little bit about that today because I think, at least for me, I've had this journey in my own life of coming home. I've just had this journey of coming home. And I haven't really recognized that that's really been my journey. I have this journey that first mountain, which is identity and a host of things that Nikki was talking about. But my second mountain is about coming home. And what do I do as I'm coming home? You see, our search for individualism, which is what we've been doing as a culture for some time. Even Science of Mind was built on individualism. It's how do I do this? How do I work within so that I can change the world outside? And the only part that I kind of find myself missing in that is that it's not just about doing the work in here. It's really I'm doing the work in here with all of you. Because if I only do it here and I don't do it outside of myself as well, then the only thing I'm doing is kind of changing my perspective of it, but I'm not really contributing, I think, in a really necessary way, what our world is calling for us to do. Our world is begging for us to do is to step outside of ourselves. Because if I'm stuck in here just working on my stuff, and sometimes the only way I can get out of this head and stop working just on this stuff is by being in community. When I stepped into my first Center for Spiritual Living, part of it was because I was struggling. I'm sure some of you that resonates. You walk into a spiritual community and you're in there because there's something that you're looking for. There's the seeking that's happening. I was seeking for meaning for myself. What does my life mean? What is my purpose here? Because somehow I've lost it. I had climbed the first mountain, and I found that the only thing up there was titles and labels that meant nothing. And I didn't feel the way that I thought I would feel when I climbed that first mountain. I also didn't know that there was a second mountain. I only knew that there was a first mountain. Now, what's about that is this: the ego really asks us to look at our individual selves. Here's some interesting aspects of the fact that for the last half century, our emancipation, which is some freedom from being part of a collective consciousness, is to be an individual. And this is some of what's happened because of our intense hyper-individualism. We've become a nation of folks that are generally afraid to get involved. we've delegated our responsibility to be involved to leaders who really don't know how we feel because we haven't even told them how we feel. But we've expected others to accomplish things. And in many cases, when we've had that expectation of them accomplishing it, we're unhappy with what they've done, but we're not engaged. That's why conversations are happening like the one next Sunday about power and privilege. How do I be in some of these movements and or ideologies? How do I step into a way that is authentic and genuine and from a place of power? Part of what's happened is in our search for freedom, there's a shadow side of freedom that we don't always talk about. I've oftentimes looked for freedom myself in my own journey, and what I've ended up doing is become sort of exclusionary in my quest. I'm not the only one. Right now, there's a loneliness crisis happening in our country. It's amazing. 35% of Americans over 45 are chronically lonely. 8% have conversations with their neighbors anymore, where neighborhoods used to be, where people were outside. Of course, we didn't have TV, and we didn't have cell phones, and we didn't have binge watching on Netflix, right? 30% of all households are now single households, as in one person. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just an interesting number to consider. The suicide rate has risen by 30%. People are retreating, not connecting. The young, it's hit the hardest. Between the ages of 10 and 17, suicide rate has grown by 70%. I'm saying these things, and I'm going to take you somewhere after this, okay? The fastest growing political group is the unaffiliated. The fastest growing religious group is the unaffiliated. Are you getting a sense of what I'm saying? What's happening? We've retreated from each other. Spiritual communities are shrinking all across the country, if not the world. I often found it's interesting that the closer you get to the Vatican, the smaller the spiritual community. You walk in any church in the city of Rome and you may get 5 or 6 people. So what does that say about spiritual community? What are we doing? What are we trying to do? What's our purpose? I've been considering that because there's a sense of that we're asking people to find their own meaning on their own. And our young people, we're asking them to find their own meaning in an infinite world of choice. Can you imagine? There were not that many choices for different things for me when I was growing up. But for this new group, there's an infinite number of choices. And we want them to find their meaning. There was a survey done of young people between the ages of 13 and 17, and the question was asked, is it more important what I accomplish or more important that I'm a good person? And the young people said, it's more important about what I accomplish. Now, we contributed to that, every single one of us. Every single one of us. No one, this side doesn't own it. That side doesn't own it. We own it. And it was a necessary journey, this journey of individualism. It's important because we went from being tribal. And tribal is really interesting because tribal becomes about us and them. Tribal becomes about what we're against, whereas community is what are we for, and we're here to have meaning and to connect with each other. And tribal is, I'm afraid of anyone that doesn't look like me, act like me, talk like me, and believe like me. We're seeing movements all over the country with respect to people coming together for something and against something. And the question keeps coming up is, how can I create a world which, you know, Centers for Spiritual Living has said, how can I create a world in which it works for everyone? I would propose, it starts right here in this community, right here where we're at. I know in my own journey that part of my own individualism, even as a minister sometimes, is to retreat really far away so that I can figure out what's going on. And unfortunately, when I do that, I'm so caught up in what's going on in my own head that I've disconnected myself from the world around me, which is what I came here to do, is to be part of a positive change. It's so easy to retreat so far away, and there's so many distractions out there to support that retreat. There are so many distractions. And those distractions really keep us, in a sense, what Nikki said about the valley, it keeps us from actually sitting in that valley and figuring out what's going on for me. It's so easy with my phone sitting right there to just, you know, pick it up and see who's reached out to me. Isn't that funny? See who's reached out to me. That I've relegated the reaching out to technology. I've relegated my intimacy in a sense, with my community to technology and or only Sunday morning. Because I know that in order to build a community, it has to be bigger than just this morning. This sort of momentary, fleeting opportunity to connect is not enough. It's not enough for me. And believe me, this is not admonishment. This is just my own kind of awakening here. I want to make sure about that. See, because I would ask yourselves, you know, why are you here? What did you walk into this room for? And what do you keep walking into this room for? And it's important to ask myself that question. Because if I don't ask myself that question, I'm never going to get to the answer. I'm just going to keep seeking. And if we're a community of seekers, we'll never find it. And by the way, it's never just one answer. It's an infinite number of answers. And guaranteed along the way, some of those answers are going to be the minister hurt my feelings from the previous community or the current community. Or it's going to be somebody said something. Or it's going to be I don't belong. I was watching a movie because I love Netflix. I was watching a movie called Wine Country. And have any of you seen it? It's a really great film. It's completely inappropriate. Reese, you can't see it until you're at least 18. But there's a woman in the film that talks about how she doesn't feel like she belongs in the group. She's constantly saying she's being left out. And I was watching and I was looking at it, and I saw myself in there. I've announced at times in my life that, you know, I got left out, that I didn't belong, that I didn't fit in, or whatever it might be. And I was really watching it, and I was thinking about her because she's on her phone a lot during the film, and then she turns around and complains that the group left her out. And she's working, and she's talking about work, and then she turns to the group and says, you know, you've left me out again. And then every incident in which she feels supports or justifies the case in which she's been left out, she grabs onto that and throws it at the group. The truth is, she has never chosen to be part. She's only expected that others ask her or invite her in. And to be honest with community, it's a combination of this. I'm going to pull you in, and you're going to pull me back in as well. And you're going to do that with each one. And if we only do it in these particular moments, these fleeting moments, then the only thing that happens is fleeting moments of connection. And I will continue to feel like I don't belong or I'm not part of something. And really what's happened in the conversations at the board level that we're having and even in the PRACCOR is this idea of how do we create something that isn't about growing namaste. We're not here to grow namaste. That's not our purpose. We're here to connect. We're here to create community. Not just for you, but for me. Back in October or September or August, and I'm not sure which, when I gave my talk and I asked in that talk, I said, choose me. The reason I said that is because I wanted to find home. This is my spiritual home. Period. And there's some part of me that through this journey, I've been a little worried that I'm the only one. I'm not, but I've been a little worried. Because I think that's pretty normal for any leader to wonder. But the point of the matter, it doesn't matter. It's my home. Now, what does home mean? Well, sometimes it means this. So indulge me for just a moment. Yeah, that's funny, right? I didn't come here to do this journey by myself. It is a solo journey to some extent, but I did not come here to do it alone. I came here to do it with anyone that walks through that door. But not just there. Not just there. I came here to do it with any person that's ever walked through that door and that walks back out. I came here to do it with my family, with my friends. I came here to do it with each one of you, no matter where you are. No matter where you are. It's not a judgment. It's not about that this person's further ahead than me or that the minister's further ahead, because I've got a little shot for you. I'm not further ahead. I just made this my job. Why? Because chemical engineering was not going to be my gig this life. I'm not going to do it alone either. I get to do it with each one of you, and you get to bring the gift that you brought. The thing about community, the thing about getting out of my head, the thing about what makes the biggest difference is not by sitting in our seats. It's not about showing up occasionally. It's about stepping into service, because in service, I get to connect. In service, I don't just make someone else's life bigger and better. I pull myself out of my head and into my heart. And I get called to be big. And I get called to use the power that is me in the way that I was called to be and do. If we don't build communities in what exists in our country right now, then individualism will succeed in where we will continue to retreat into feeling mistrust and continuing to believe that I'm alone. In continuing to support suicide rates, in continuing to say that only certain people can be part of my group, in continuing to support an ideology that is not who we are at the core of who we are. We're so much bigger than this, because the truth is, we are love. And if we are love, it has to be given. It cannot be held onto as if I don't have enough. It has to be given. Rumi said, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. Our community of Namaste has evolved, and it's shifted over and over from the very moment that it was created. It was created by a group of people in a living room that said we have a common ideology. It wasn't about what we were against. I wasn't even there, but somehow I was there in consciousness because I ended up here. It was created by a group led by Kristen Hawkins, who was the founding minister. It has evolved and shifted, and it has felt homeless, and it has found a home, and in some cases has not moved in. This is our home. And if this is the first time you've been here, then we get to invite you to make home here, and we will have a place for you at the table. Because anybody that walks in that door has a place at the table. We will go through shifts. We will learn and find an identity again. Even at our national level, it's like we lost our identity. Can you feel it? We too may have lost an identity. Well, now we get to say what that identity is, not by what we verbally say, but how we show up. How we show up. Because how we show up for the community is what my identity is. That's just how it works. I bring my gift, and that's my identity. You see, because a healthy community is a thick system of relationships. It's irregular. It's dynamic. It's organic. It's personal. It will move you. It will shake you. It will envelop you. It won't always be unicorns and butterflies. But guaranteed, when you're in the hole, I'll jump in. And I know a whole host of other people willing to do that too. We are Namaste. Aren't we, Ray? We are Namaste. So I invite you to do two things. One is, membership classes are coming up. Explore the idea of membership. What does it mean and what is the possibility? What is the meaning of it? What is the possibility for me? It's an invitation. You get to explore it. You get to explore, what does my membership mean now? Not my membership that was. Not the membership that was. What is my membership now? Because I need to ask myself that question all the time. Because it shifts and moves, because the community shifts and moves. And that's okay. And we get to create social capital here. We get to create deep relationships. We get to do all the things that are up here. And we get to study and we get to learn and we get to grow together. That's what we get to do. And if we create this community, that's how we change. That's how we change our world, is by community. One community at a time. So I have a little treat for you. You ready? Okay. Does everyone know Susan Kallik? Oh, no. I was letting you get...
No. I'm the better half of Nikki.
Oh! Yes, I'm standing right here, right, Nikki? I'm right here in the room. So this month we've invited community members to come up and share a little bit. So Susan, tell me about being at Namaste. What's it like for you? Why is it important to be here?
I think that first and foremost, Namaste is my family. Coming to Namaste however many years ago, I didn't have a large circle of friends. They were mostly just work friends, and I worked over by UCLA, so when I'd come home, it was me and Nikki for the most part, or Nikki's friends. Coming to Namaste, I've met so many people, and my circle of friends has just grown exponentially. And they're people that are my family, and they're people that I know have always got my back. And at the drop of a hat, I could call them, and they'll be there for me.
Yeah.
And I'll do the same for them.
Man in the hole.
But I bring a ladder. Or a rope.
She's a librarian at heart. Librarians are very adventurous, I've noticed, yes. This month is our pledge program, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Not a lot today, because we'll talk about it through the month. So you changed how you were as a pledger.
Oh,
could you talk about that?
Yes. Money has often been a fear factor for me. When Nikki and I decided to buy or think about buying a house, I had the checkbook in one hand and a pen in the other and tears streaming down my face saying, we can't afford this. So the idea of tithing, oh my God, giving, you know, the suggested 10%. If I can't buy a house, how am I going to give Namaste or anybody 10% of my income or our income? So I gave what was comfortable. Nikki and I would always talk about it. Change the amount. Talk about it. Change the amount. Then I took the five gifts, and one of the things that was talked about in the class was tithing, which just makes me seize up. And then I had this huge aha moment in the middle of class where we were talking about tithing was, well, duh, stop thinking about the big amount, the just of all our income, what's the total amount, and start thinking about it in little pieces. And tithe on those little pieces. And that made me just melt, and it made me feel so comfortable. And it's something that I'm able to do really freely and willingly now to give that 10%.
You know, what's interesting is I asked Susan to talk about this because I saw what was happening but didn't necessarily understand because she hadn't talked about it. But when we give of our time, treasure, and talent to our spiritual community, it makes sense that we're giving to a community to grow it. You're not giving it to me. You're not giving it to the building. You're giving to a community of your time, treasure, and talent, and that is our tithe. And that's what was interesting about the class is there was something about giving from a place of what?
I wanted to. It was from my heart. It was willingness. Growing up Catholic and going to elementary school at a Catholic school, we were given a box of these tiny little envelopes, and every week I would put my dimes and my whatever in that envelope and put it in the basket out of obligation. This is not out of obligation. This is something that I truly want to do, and I truly want to support this growing community because this growing community is my family.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you. So this is about community. That's what we're doing. And that's what we'll be doing all month. And we're going to offer an invitation to explore what is it for you? And I'm going to really urge you to ask that question of yourself. Why community for me? Why am I here? And let's ask ourselves that. And there's no judgment. Whether it's a choice to be here or not is not my choice. I'm here. This is my home. Namaste is my community. It is my community. So I'm here. So will you pray with me? So I just stand in this place, this space that we call God, Spirit, Universal Consciousness. It is all there is. There is nothing else. And even that seems to limit it. So what I know, it has no edge, no center, no circumference. It is all. I am one with it as each person is in this room. So in that knowing, in that space and place of being, I just affirm for this community that we are Namaste, and what follows is every gift that is given in this room of service, of presence, of time, of financial, whatever it is, that is what Namaste is because that is what we give to it. We give to it from our heart. And I walk this journey with each one of you in this space and place of meaning, of coming to understand the deeper question of who I am and who I am with each one that I come in contact with. How can I be that loving presence with each person I come in contact with? No matter. Because that is my journey. So I just affirm that journey, whatever that might be, that is speaking to each person in this room, and I hold that journey in the highest. And I allow this time to be. I allow it to be so. I release its form into whatever the universe says, comes back with and says, here you go. And gratefully I accept it. And so it is. Amen.